The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Jesus' teaching and action in this text are directed to the church whenever it is seduced by the world's definition of greatness, prestige, power, influence, and money. The antidote to such a concern for greatness is servanthood. I begin reading at verse 30. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples and saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent. For on the way they had argued with one another, who was the greatest? He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child, put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Boxes are useful things. You can wrap things up in them. You can get presents in boxes at Christmas time or at birthdays, and it's always fascinating to watch little children when they receive a gift, a box. They rip the ribbons off and the papers off to get into the inside, and they find their toy on the inside and they play with the toy for a little bit, but most of the time they end up playing with the box. Catherine and I are pretty good experts at boxes. In the first 3 years that we were married, we moved 5 times. And so we were constantly taking things out of boxes and putting things into boxes. And we got to be pretty good of figuring out what fit into what box and how to pack so that it's tight so things don't shift around, and to put the heavy things in small boxes and the big bulky things in large boxes. But I do have to admit, when I finally arrived at my first parish, after those 5 moves, we had a box burning ceremony. We got rid of those boxes. We were ready to stay for a while. In our gospel lesson for today, the disciples, it seems, want to put Jesus into a box. They want to pack him in there so that they want the Jesus that they know and they can understand. They heard the words of the kingdom of God. They saw the miracles that Jesus could do. They heard many of his teachings, and they would put those good things all in that box. But the things they didn't understand or were too hard to take, they just set them aside. They didn't want to deal with it. Today, here in this gospel lesson, Jesus makes his second prediction that he would be going to Jerusalem, that he would be betrayed and he would be killed, and on the third day he would rise again. The disciples didn't know what to make out of that. They didn't understand it, and so it just kind of went over their heads, and they left it out of that nice, neat package that they wanted to put Jesus into. In a sense, that's what we do with God as well, or with our faith. We want to package it up. We want it so that we can understand it. And we hear those good things, that we are saved by grace, that we have the promise of eternal life. We hear the goodness of God, of how God created everything and how God has saved his people. And we put those things in the box. But there's other things about God that we simply do not understand. We don't understand sometimes why bad things happen to us, or the situations that we get into, and we don't understand sometimes of when our faith is tested. And so we don't want that in that box with God because it doesn't seem to fit. But God cannot be contained in a box. But really, you can't blame those disciples for wanting just to keep those things and kind of ignore the other things that they didn't understand. I mean, when Jesus was talking about going to the cross, that he would be betrayed, that he would suffer many things, that he would be handed over to his enemies, and that he would die and rise again. You know, really can't blame them, because who wants somebody else to be brave for them? Who wants to owe somebody something else? You know, maybe you have dreams of being a hero, of being someone who saves other people. How many of you have dreams, though, of the one who needs a hero, or the one who needs to be saved? We want to be the ones responsible. We want to be the ones who are in charge. We want to be the ones who can take care of it. And when we lose abilities to be able to control our lives or be able to take care of ourselves or the things in our lives, there's a great loss, because we want to be in charge. We want to do that. But when we start to think that I'm in charge, I'm responsible for everything in my life, I can do it myself, I can pull my own bootstraps up, I'm a self-made person, we start to set ourselves up for failure, because none of us are perfect. Each and every day we do sin. We fall short of where God wants us to be. And so we fail. We don't make it to that point where God wants us to be. We try to wrap God up in a box. And when we do that, though, the grace is that box cannot contain God. God bust out of that box. He busted out of the grave. He sets us free as well then too. When Jesus had made that prediction to the disciples that he was heading to the cross and that he would suffer all these things, it went straight over the head of the disciples. It wasn't in their box. And so what did they do? They started to argue. They argued amongst themselves. Again, they missed the point. They missed that whole point of Jesus as the servant. Not as the greatest, but as the servant of all. The disciples were arguing, who is the greatest? Who is the most important? And I can just hear them arguing with each other. I'm the most important because I was the first disciple. No, I'm the most important because I walked on the water with Jesus for a short while. No, I'm the most important because I was the one who found the little boy that fed all those people the other day. No, I'm the most important because Jesus has entrusted me with the money bags. I'm the treasurer. I'm the officer. And they went back and forth of who is the most important. Again, it didn't fit in their box of Jesus saying that he must suffer many things, that is the reason, that is the central reason that Jesus came to this earth, was to bring salvation to us. And that is the way that God has chosen the way to bring salvation to us. That Jesus emptied himself. He took out everything. And he came to this earth to live here and to die here. And so Jesus also says, whoever wants to be first must be last and must be servant of all. And then Jesus did something else. He took a child, and he held that child in his arms, and he says, whoever welcomes this child welcomes not only me, but also welcomes the one who sent me. In that day and time, the child had no rights. And probably in many of your lifetimes, too, you've seen the different ways that we've had views on children. I remember adults talking about when they were at meals like family gatherings or reunions. It was the men who ate first, then the women, and then the children were last. What happens now? We feed the kids first so that they're not cranky. Things have changed. We look at kids in a different way than we did, say, even 50 or 60 years ago. It was even different, more different, back then in that day. Children had absolutely no rights. They were basically considered the property of the father. Whatever the parents wanted to do to that child, they could do it. And there was really no legal conditions to it. And if something did happen to parents or the child was left alone, there were no safety nets other than other family members. There was no Social Security or Child Protective Services. The child was totally dependent. But Jesus picks up that child and says, "This is what is important." And it's not the innocence of the child that's important, because most of you know children are not always innocent. But it wasn't the innocence, but rather it was that dependence. That child was totally dependent upon the adults in its life. We don't really want to hear that. We don't want to hear that we are dependent. Again, we want to be the take charge people. We want to be the responsible one. We don't want to say, "I am dependent. I can't do it by myself. I need someone to save me." It doesn't fit in our box. But that's exactly when we become most important. It's in our baptism that God takes us and says, "You are my child. You are dependent upon me, and I will give you everything you need, including eternal life." And that's one of the reasons we do baptize children, because it's not dependent upon us. Our salvation is not dependent upon us. It is purely grace from God, bestowed upon us by God, to take a child that is completely dependent on other people. And so here in our gospel lesson, that's what's important, is that child that is completely dependent. But he also says, the one who is important is the one who welcomes one such as this. And so as he says again here, that the last shall be first and servant of all. That is the mission of Christ. His mission was to be the servant of all, to die for the sins of the world, and to raise it up once again. And as his disciples, as his followers, he is calling us then to be servants of all as well. And to welcome those who are the most dependent. To welcome those who are in most need of a Savior. To welcome those who have a need to be loved. Christ has called us to be servants of all. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.